I want to take a moment here to start out and with my introduction. I want to talk a little bit about the body of Christ today. The body of Christ. And the body as we know it today, the church, what the Greek word, the ekklesia, it's an understanding of called out. And who here understands you are part of the church, a body of Christ, the believers, the amen. We know some understanding. And called out, what does that mean? I've been called out. I've been called out. Hopefully you understand being called out of darkness into the light. See, it's not only important to understand what you've been called out of, but where you ended up. So not only have you been called out of condemnation, you've been into pardoning. Praise God for that. I can get an amen someone here, right? Amen. You've been pardoned. You've been, a propitiation has been paid. The understanding of our God giving his whole own son for who was supposed to be up on that cross. I was. Who else? Anybody else? Anybody understand? I was. Everybody could say that. And because of the work of Jesus Christ, because of that cross and his proof in the resurrection, we all have in this body who profess that one thing in common. One thing in common, and I love things in common. You begin to get groups together with a common focus, but our commonality is a beautiful thing. As the song goes, we can all sing this. I once was lost, but now I'm, I was blind, but now I. So the understanding of coming out of the darkness and into the light, out of condemnation and into being pardoned, that should put a skip in your step, right? We should be excited about that. And if you have repented of your sinful ways, embraced Jesus Christ and his work on the cross by faith, you have experienced what the Bible calls being born again. And nobody can see God without being born again. And that's important. That's the gospel. Good news is if you haven't done that, if that's something you're not sure of, if I've just been going to church all my life and I don't know if I've really even done that, you can do that right now. You can bow your head and say, God, forgive me. I'm a sinner and I need forgiveness through the cross of Christ. And in an instant, just like the thief on the cross, you can be born again. But is it that easy? Do you understand? There's a proof to your pudding. There's a walk that starts. And the understanding is that is walked out in the context of a body that we call the church. And so understanding being born again out of the fellowship of the world into a relationship with Jesus and his body, the church, we understand that we have a relational understanding, and I want to bring forth a powerful word, hopefully in Philippians, that is very simple in understanding Philippians, and how we are a sheep in the fold, branches in a vine, members of a family. This is a relational network. Now, you all like to sit over here. I got this group over here every week. I think next month we're all going to make sure we sit in different seats every week for a whole month. What do you think about that? So you all sit over here, and then you all sit right there. I go to sleep, and I have you guys all sit right there. So you all relate to these over here in some way, and you all relate to these guys up here. Behind there, you never even see them back there. You don't even know who comes in half the time. But that doesn't negate we are all in a relationship within the body. And so understanding this relational network that we have, the relations that we have amongst our congregation are very important. We have a commonality. We come together. But it's not just within these walls, loved ones. We can't just have a little coffee club here with a little Jesus and call this my church. So it's not within the congregation, but it's also amongst your leaders. The members to the leaders. There's a relational aspect there. There's a special understanding of how that works. But it's not just within that context of each other than with the leadership, but also outside within different church bodies. Now, that might be different. Now, I'll be honest with you. I'm out there working with different pastors, and I'm meeting with different people. I meet on Thursday, every other Thursday with a group of pastors. I enjoy fellowshipping with other pastors. I want to know what's being met in the needs of the community. I want to know what the signs and the smells of the community of Tecumseh and Shawnee are all about. And so, are you relating to people outside in other churches? It's okay. You all know that, right? We can relate with other people, and Christian brotherhood is a blessing. Not just within these walls. And so there's all these different relations going, and we must learn to live and to work together. And we can determine to be humble and loving within this church first by imitating what the body of Christ. If I imitate what the body of Christ and teach that to you, and you begin to imitate that, you know that sign up there right now in the front about love? Go ahead and read that. There's a couple signs out there. Start meditating on what those signs mean in relationship to each other and the love of Christ abounding. And looking at the challenges of Paul as he gives words in the New Testament and his commendations to the New Covenant churches and the letters he's writing, I was really fascinated. Over the last few months, I've been into his prison epistles and in Philippians this morning. And we're going to look at Philippians and the Philippi church and what Paul wants to speak and what he spoke over 2,000 years ago about the church relating to each other. Let's pray. Father God, I want to ask you to go before me. I humble myself before the awesome work of giving forth a word that you have for me here amongst people. The lives that they live really go forth with what is being taught, not only in your word, but from my words. Let me influence by the Holy Spirit the power that is available to them through the blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, you say very clearly that we have been born again and are new creatures. Let the old go away. Let the new come in and let us see that we have a future of joy and hope and a blessing that comes through Jesus Christ. May the ears open up. May my words go forth as your words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, head on over to Philippians chapter 1 if you're not already there. Philippians chapter 1, I'm going to be just a couple verses into the letter. I had a message a few weeks back, and I came back, and like I said, I was meditating on all the prison epistles, and I'll get back into that in a minute. But let's look at our scripture, the first two verses of chapter 1 in Philippians. Let's go ahead and read that. Can we stand? I don't stand too often, but this is a short, if you're able to stand, let's just stand as we read the Word of God. It says here in chapter 1, verse 1, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. Go ahead and have a seat. The introduction to his letter to the Philippians, just a mere short two verses. There's a lot in an introduction. There's a lot in an introduction. Just what I said to you over the past, whatever, 7-8 minutes. Just listening to that, I am giving forth a tone. I'm setting a tone for what is about to come. I also am looking to engage you into listening. Sometimes I often may speak where by the end of my intro, you're already checked out. That's probably not a good introduction. I don't profess to be perfect at what I do, but I try very hard. But I want to engage you as a listener from the intro on. Appropriate illustrations are very common to be used to grab from the physical into the spiritual realms when we're talking about the Word of God. Intros are important. And you only get one chance to make a first impression. And so as we see that really our attention spans these days are quite short, I want to make sure to grab hold for the next 20 or 30 minutes of what God's Word has. And I've been looking and pouring into these prison epistles. And do you understand these prison epistles? There are four letters that Paul wrote that most theologians are in agreement with, that he wrote from a Roman prison around 60 AD. He's well-established, many churches, been captured in his own ways. There's a whole story behind that. I'm not going to sent off to Rome, kind of by his own will. And he's sitting in a Roman prison. Though he may be being taken care of, I'm going to let you all know that being in a Roman prison 2,000 years ago, whether you're wined and dined or not, is not a pleasant experience. And so I was really looking, what I wanted to see, what I wanted to understand is, how was Paul acting in these prison epistles, these letters, in relation to the other letters that he wrote, Corinthians, Galatians, Titus, the pastoral epistles of Timothy, and then you got Thessalonians. How were those tones, those understandings set with the understandings of when he was free? And what I was finding as I mulled this over and really prayed about it is Paul was the same. Paul was the same. Whether he was in a Roman prison or he's walking the path of planting churches or he's dealing with difficult situation, Paul always had the same understanding of being led by God. His walk was pretty much a little like this, but he was pretty steady. And I admire that in a man and a woman of God, steadiness in your faith, not being to the waves of to and fro, like James says, thrown about all over the place. And understanding that compared to his other epistles and letters that being the same, he was always challenging, looking to grow somebody to that next level. That's hard to do. Compassion is what he used it with. He seasoned that with compassion, always, perfectly, really. His words were from the Spirit of God. He also had this fatherly aspect. You know, he was an apostle, especially to the Gentiles, planting these churches. He took on an aspect of, yes, I'm the one that's leading, but he had a little more than that. I want to really relate to you. And then I love the one that I love this part. He was discerning. That's a gift of the Holy Spirit that we should all desire. Being discerning in the way we act and speak. And Paul had all these, whether he was in jail or he was free. And so intros here in Philippians, they are also important. And in these two verses, I've gained a lot of insight. I've really looked into it deep. And I've looked at it in the context of the functioning local church body. Write this down. In the local church, people are saints. People are saints. Paul calls the Philippians saints here. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints. Saints are not some special people that are above others. I grew up in the Catholic Church background. My aunt was a nun, by the way. And so growing up and other nuns were, I was in the convent area. They ran a little nursing home. So I was gathered around these ladies a lot. I went on vacation with them. And so I was influenced by this and watching this and understanding the saints in these churches that I would, large cathedral churches we'd walk into. And I'd see these people standing there, you know, statues. And I'd be wondering, who are these people? There'd be one in the corner. Sometimes they'd have a whole row, men and women. And I'd be asking, who are these people? And they'd say, oh, that's St. Timothy, and that's St. Christopher, and that's St. Margaret. And I didn't know anything, so I was questioning. And they'd try to tell me the best. They're special people. They did a miracle. They did something special. And the Pope, he granted something. Now, I have nothing against Catholics. I believe there are some believers in the Catholic Church. This isn't against Catholics. This is my experience. And so as we were looking at this, they say, oh, they did some miracle, they did something special, and the Pope grants them this thing called sainthood, makes them a special love. They're above other people. And we would pray to these saints. I didn't know any better. I'd pray. And anyways, I was, just to get the background, I was digging around in the back of one of my aunt's houses, and underneath her bushes, I dug up some of these funny-looking statues again. They were just little plastic ones buried in the dirt with some crosses, little plastic crosses. And I didn't know what this was all about. And so I go ask, what are these doing in the dirt? These are the same ones that I see hanging up in the churches. If these are special people, why did we put them in the dirt? Well, I found out that these saints, whoever they were in the dirt, were the ones that blessed the homes. When you bought a home, you had a certain saint that you buried on the property so that he would bless your home. It got me kind of confused. Because I was always hearing about this Jesus guy, and then this Pope guy, and now these other guys that are on the walls, I was totally confused. And so later on, when I got born again, I understood the truths of God's word, I came to the word saints, and I had to get it right. What are these saints? The saints are simply normal people, saved by grace. They are called holy because they're set apart. Who here is a saint? Amen. You understand. See, you're further along than I was a few years back. But I understand now that I was a saint now because I've been born again. It's a called out one, similar to the church body. Holy, set apart for Jesus' glory, the glory of God. And the Philippians were saints because of what? Here it is, to all the saints in Christ Jesus. It's because of him, the one we sing about, the one we give praise to, the one we have all hope in. Is the reason we're saints. So all sorts of people were in the Philippian church, I'm sure. If you look through the epistles, you find all sorts of people in the church. And in Philippi, that probably was no different. You'll find merchants, business people of all sorts. You'll find demon-delivered people. Love those people. Those people have really been in some depths, been delivered, come out, and the light is shown, and they are sitting in what the Bible says, in their right mind. You have family people. You have just simple people that are raising a family new of this God, but now they know Jesus Christ personally. You also have authority figures in the church, politicians, policemen, lawmen. You have all sorts of these people, all called saints. Not some level that society puts on or some religion puts on, but who's putting it on you? It's Jesus Christ. He puts the word saint upon you as a blessing, as a called out one. And so all in one body together with one focus, all there with one purpose in Christ Jesus, to serve God. You know that's why we're all here? You understand when we come corporately to worship, it's to straighten our path for the week, to understand, oh, I'm supposed to be out there as an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Do we understand that? All of you, you may be a teacher, you may be a worker, a machine worker, you may be a concrete worker. You are incognito, in disguise, as an ambassador of Christ. That's your job. That's what we're called out to do. And so we come together, we encourage, and we get a word to straighten us out, maybe a little revelation to grow us deeper in understanding that Paul is addressing these specific people. He's also, not just with the saints, I'm going to get deeper. The church is full of saints, but then the church leaders, write this down, are servants. It's a little different than what our world may call leaders. Leaders, sometimes in a company or in politics, they often look to be leaders by authority. You look at Russia, you look at China, I'm going to command and demand how to run this place. Not so in the church. Church leaders are servant leaders. And we have a person who gives us the perfect picture of that Jesus. But Paul refers to himself here. He's also a picture up in verse 1 there. Look at the first. Paul and Timothy, bondservants. Now, not only are they servants, but they're bondservants. They're done by voluntary. I'm going to make sure I lower myself. A bondservant. And so as they understand the leadership through servanthood, the leadership in the church to others is defined in serving Jesus. So as I come and serve Jesus and serve you, I'm giving you the picture then to serve each other and go serve others outside the church. The picture is beautiful, loved ones. It's never changed and it never will. 2,000 years ago in Philippi is the same as in Shawnee and Tecumseh today. There are people hurting out there. There are people in need. They're filling it with money, with greed, with substances, with whatever's on the screens that they can consume, and they're not being filled, and they come home broken, not, maybe knowing about Jesus, but not having anyone relating physically Jesus to them. Are you willing to be that person? Are you willing to be the servant leader in your family, the servant leader in your community, who's willing to step out by faith and say, I want to let you know what Jesus has done in my life. I want to let you know my story. Are you willing to listen? Many people will. And since Paul and Timothy were being examples of who Jesus was, their example, the Philippians being servants to the Philippians, you look at it all through the scriptures. Acts chapter, you don't have to go through it. Acts chapter 16, Acts chapter 19, Acts chapter 20, Philippians 2:22. You can go there real quick. We can flip over. Philippians 2:22, but you know his proven character that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Serving, serving. The leaders are looking to humbly serve. I'm not parading myself around saying, look at me, look at what I'm doing. Make sure to fill my coffers like the sons of Eli and Samuel. Make sure to put my forks in the bucket and get out the best meat and fill my stomachs. I'm looking to pour myself out as an example, as Jesus did, a drink offering before you all. And may you do all the rest. And so as Paul addressed the church leaders with an example of his own servanthood, he expected the same from us. So who are these leaders? Well, he looks there right there in chapter verse 1. To all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons. Bishops is a bigger word. Most of those are pastors today. Pastors and deacons, those are our lay helpers. Those are the people who are taking care of the needs of a church so the pastors could be in study and prayer of the word, the mystery of the word. And so as he's looking into the bishops and deacons, the leaders to be servant leaders, he's not only going to describe the actions, but also our attitude. Do we sometimes look and do things, but with the wrong attitude? Do we want to correct that? See, if we have the right attitude, it propels the action so much further, right? Sometimes in my voice, I could often hear, I'm kind of sounding like I'm a little gruff. You know, anybody? Yeah, sometimes, maybe sometimes. I don't mean to be. So I have to back down. Yeah, Pat, you're really raising your hand over there. So what I need to understand is I have to bring the truth in love. So it's not just my actions to bring forth what it is I'm bringing forth, but also my attitude, to understand my voice coming in a way that is receptive, bring forth a loving attitude. And that's not always easy for leaders. They're so hopped up on the vision or whatever it is God wants me to do, they forget the attitude behind it. You all need to remember that attitude when you're dealing with your families and your friends and your community. They need to see not only the way you act, but the attitude behind it. Because as you turn around with an action, they're watching your face in the mirror. And they may see something that may not exactly reflect the action. So God, help us to be convicted, to be authentic, to be real, to describe not only our actions in a way, but our attitudes is the same. Looking to help people get better, to model humility, to be an interest of the whole of a person, not just whatever it is right in front of us. So leadership is servanthood. Here's another one I got out of the scripture, that saints are full of grace and peace. Saints are full of grace and peace. Now, I can say a lot of us really try to do that in our own strength, right? We look to really try to be better, try to be more loving. But it says here very clearly in verse 2, grace to you and peace, underline the next two words, from who? From God. Please, please, please don't look to live out the Christian life in our own strength. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's us being able to be Christ, Christ through us, to love others as Jesus loves us, but to die so he can love others through us. This is the power of working with Jesus Christ and allowing him, and dying to ourselves and allowing him to work through us. So grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. How terrible it would be if you all over here had a stink eye for these people over here. And I was thinking about this. Sometimes we get so comfortable over here that I'm looking over there and judging other people. That's not full of grace and peace. How terrible it would be then to actually act that out. And the power that we would be using to love others is stifled because of an attitude, because it's not from God. And this is the body that's one. Unity, oneness, wholeness. We can't be fracturing off into little areas. And so as we gather together, the power is in the whole, and the church community is brought to strength, and the commonality of our interests and the failures that we all have in common, we encourage and we strengthen and we bless from God, full of grace and peace. And so the community that we have outside of here begins to see a love that is authentic. So loved ones, as we come through here, this was just a simple understanding of some complexities, I believe, in church. But I don't want to just preach a couple words. I want us to go home with some application. So, Bill, how am I going to be able to take some of this home? How am I going to understand servanthood and leadership in my home? How am I going to understand I'm a saint because I've been saved by grace? And how am I going to be filled with grace and peace from God? Let's write a couple things down, and may you go home with these this week. First of all, pray. Can we all ask God this week to give us a compassionate heart? Can we all ask God to give us courage? Can we all ask God to give us forgiveness? Do you see others? This is important. Do you see others as Jesus sees them? That should right a lot of our wrongs right there. How Jesus sees others, that's how we should see those people. So pray that God gives us that heart. Here's another one. How about recognize? Recognize that all people are at different levels of spiritual and emotional maturity. One person who's been sitting in an aisle for 30 years may not be at the level you think they're at. And somebody who's been here for a few years may be a whole lot further than you realize. Let not the package or the surface describe what's inside. God looks at the heart. Man looks on the outside. And so as we look at people and having an understanding of recognition, don't understand them which what you see, but understand by the Spirit of God and where you will want them to be. Where do I see people? I want them to see them love each other. I want them to see grow and be blessed in their family. How about in their business? Yes, to prosper because they're looking and doing the ways God says to do finances. That's what we want to see. And then one last thing. How about tolerating people? Tolerating people. Tolerating their mistakes and their shortcomings. This is a hard one because we can always judge somebody. Did you see what they did? Did you see what she did? Whether it be here at work or in school, wherever it is, tolerating people will give people a whole lot more room to grow. Who here wants more room to grow? Who wants to be tolerated? We need that. Let us be willing to give that to others. Don't be the person who's looking to be the Holy Spirit for others. Right? We pray for them. We lift them up. Maybe there is a challenging word in the right time. So pray, recognize, tolerate people. Now, I saw this intro as very important today. Paul's greetings were always similar in all his epistles. So when I saw this, I looked at the other ones, and every time I would see Paul, an apostle, Paul, a bondservant, Paul of Jesus Christ to the saints, and he always had this in there, grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I knew there was something very important. When you see repetition in the Bible, grab hold of that and learn. And so I have a challenge for you all today. As we wrote these few things, pray, recognize, tolerate. How about us starting to reflect on that? How about us looking to build up the relationship of the body here at Countryside? And then building up the body of churches within Pot County? And then seeing outside the walls, do you understand just a little bit of fire will start catching on? Do you understand the souls that are thirsty to hear and see authenticity in Christianity? It's all over the place. And so when we have the relationships be grown here, we have a power from the Holy Spirit to be able to grow outside of here. I want to take a moment. I haven't done this probably ever here, but I just want to be where we're at. I want us to bow our heads. I want us to clear our hearts. You're going to take this home, hopefully. You'll look over. Some of you take notes. You'll take over a couple things and maybe get a little bit more out of it. But I want to challenge you right now. I want us to settle our souls right now. I want us to quiet ourselves before Almighty God. If you want to come to the altar, that's fine. I have no problem with that, but I'm kind of specific here, and I'll pray over you if you want. I have no problem with that, but I want us to start reflecting. The body of Christ is His joy. He loves the church. He loves the ones that are broken. He loves the ones that have a lot together and are working in power and might. And He uses each person where they're at. Within the pews here, some of you have been sitting for decades. I'm new here, so I don't know all the different relationships here. I don't need to know them. They're pretty much the same as all the other ones we've come across over the years, and that's really a minor. But your relationship, number one, is with Jesus Christ, the Son of God who died on that cross. And we start putting our eyes on Him and we start reflecting on how He relates to us. I want to challenge you to start relating to others in that way. How is your relationship with others in this body? Is there pride in your thoughts when you think of somebody here? I'm better than them. Is there envy in your heart? I wish I was like such and such. Is there judgment? I can't believe what they did. God hates that. God hates that. Maybe they don't even go here anymore. Maybe they're long gone. Maybe it's an attitude with somebody that you still hold on to that you didn't even remember. Remember, it's not just about your actions. It's about your attitude. It's about your heart. All eyes closed, heads bowed. If you know that's in your heart, I want you to raise your hand. You know there's something, somebody, some attitude that rises up every once in a while. I want you to raise your hand. We got to honestly go before God. Nobody else is watching. I see that. Thank you. I see that. Thank you. Any others? There's power in acknowledging. Nobody's watching. I see that. Thank you. Yes. I want you to go outside these walls now. What about somebody within your community, your family, your social circle? Anyone you can be judgmental or critical of? A spirit of criticism is really a deterrent to your growth. It's not really doing any good for anybody. Anybody dealing outside of these walls with that attitude that may need to go? Thank you. I want to ask, are you extending the grace and the peace that has been given to you so freely to those around you? Bearing them right where they're at, showing them the mercy that has been so freely given to you. We're going to take that. We're going to ask that Jesus takes it and nails it to the cross. The repentance is such an awesome act. It's a walk that we go through our lives. So those who are raising their hand, those who didn't, who may understand what I'm talking about, You're going to take that spiritually and take it to the cross. That critical attitude, that prideful way, that envious spirit. And we're going to lay it at the feet of Jesus. He wants the body to be united. He wants families to be strong. And He wants communities to be glorifying Him. And we can start here this morning. Don't forget to go home and pray and understand how to recognize and tolerate. Bring a servant spirit upon each person here, Lord. We're going to go and pray right now. Lord, I thank You for those who are able to give hands raised and attitudes that need to go. In relation to the body, Lord, You are so preciously the head. And we all look to serve in our capacity as the parts of the body underneath You. And so, God, do what only You can do. Please forgive those attitudes which are on our hearts that hold us back. Lord, I know You have so much here for people that if we even knew what You had and we laid it all down and began to walk on that, the power would be so awesome that, Lord, we would see revival all around us. I so desire that, Lord. And I ask that each person here begins to feel the chains of criticism and judgment and envy falling away. And the blessings of unity and serving Jesus Christ as He gives us the grace and peace. Lord, fill each person here with grace and peace. Let Your love begin to push out the dirty attitudes, Lord. Thank You, Father, for all that You can do. Well, we can't do it, Lord. There's no way I can make anybody. But You are so awesomely loving and perfect at timing. May we have the will to surrender to You. So, Lord, we close this service with the understanding that You are going to do wonderful work. Lord, You're going to challenge some of those people who raised their hands. You're going to bring maybe that very person face to face. Lord, may they understand to really tolerate and recognize that which they can change. Because in You, all good things dwell. Thank You, Lord, for this wonderful morning. Thank You for the sunshine. Thank You for the day that is so much ahead of us. Lord, I bless Walter Johnson's family. May You encourage them through this difficult time. May we be a support over the next day or two here for them and beyond. Thank You, God, for all that You do. We give You all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.